At the beginning of the 21st century, the Umbrella Corporation had become the largest commercial entity in the United States. 9 out of every 10 homes contain its products. Its political and financial influence is felt everywhere. In public, it is the world's leading supplier of computer technology, medical products, and healthcare. Unknown even to its own employees, its massive profits are generated by military technology, genetic experimentation, and viral weaponry.
She took a chunk clean out of me. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 199 of FilmSack. It's FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight is Brian. Feeding zombies with your hand blood is just like feeding pigeons in the park, Dunaway.
Hello? Who is this? I just woke up in front of this microphone, and I can't remember a darn thing. But you guys seem pretty cool. Mind if I hang out for about an hour? Oh, wait. Oh, I'm starting to remember something in bad flashbacks. Oh, yeah, I must have forgotten. I'm completely evil. Oh, man, what a convenient time for me to remember that.
Yeah, that worked out all right. You were naked for a while, though.
Right.
I liked you in your towel. You look good.
Thank you.
I think you were being a little prudish, though, in a bathroom all by yourself. I think you didn't have to keep covering yourself when you knew you were alone. I think that's a little weird.
You like my legs?
Yeah, they're all right.
You're pretty sexy, huh?
Multipass. Also with us, Randy, we should have hired less people because now they're all zombies, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian.
Ready?
Looks like my crew is done here. I just need you to sign the invoice for our installation of your new hallway of death. Please initial next to the statement that you did not want the HOD that merely fires 100 lethal laser bullets on the first pass, saving you time and electricity. And I'd appreciate it if you'd also initial here, acknowledging that you did not elect to install any of the required self-cleaning systems due to your need to feed that pack of dogs covered in flat meat you got back there. Later!
Oh, those dogs. Good story about them.
I thought that was spaghetti.
Who knows? All we know is they ate it all off themselves. With us finally, we have Brian.
Jill!
Ibbett.
Jill! Kept waiting for Jill, and she never showed up.
She never came.
That's Barry.
Not even Barry was there.
I hope this isn't Chris's blood. you're going to notice a theme here. New from Mattel, the Red Queen Fluorescent Light Tubes Defense Hallway playset with laser cutting action. Comes with Umbrella Strike Team, some assembly required.
It chops, it slops, it dices.
Oh, man.
Unnecessarily.
It's my favorite part of the whole movie.
That was the voice of Lucius Malfoy.
Looked all right. Hey, that was who that was, wasn't it?
Yep.
Oh, was it really?
Cameoed, though. And I don't even think he was in the credits, but he was like buddies with Anderson or something. Mm-hmm. That guy, who else in Hollywood's making supremely mediocre films, yet marries one of the hottest chicks in movies and is hanging out with Lucius Malfoy on the weekend? Who is that guy?
Just because he makes crappy movies doesn't mean he's not a nice guy.
I guess.
Are we talking about Paul Anderson?
Yeah.
Not
Wes Anderson.
No.
Wrong
one. Not Paul Thomas Anderson.
No. The Paul W.S. Anderson. What is it? Wanderson.
Wanderson.
With a W. Yeah.
It's Paul Swanderson.
Yeah. He married.
Third appearance on film.
He married Lulu Dallas.
Right. He married her after this film finished up, which means this is the film that really kicked it off for him. Good for them, I suppose. You know, way to go, Paul W.S. Wanderson. Way to make the rest of us look bad, though.
By the way, how you can tell it's a Paul W.S. Anderson film if you don't know for sure?
Yeah.
Lots and lots of shots where you're looking up the people's noses.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
If you like nostril shots.
And I do. He likes that angle a lot. And he also is real fond of big lady lips. He likes the lady lips. Mm-hmm. So he's always getting real close on Michelle Rodriguez's big lady lips.
Right.
I'm pretty sure there was some computer generated effects on her face.
You think her lips had some action going there?
I don't think so. I think those were all natural. I think somebody punched her in the face right before she started.
She likes
but
it.
But even the blonde lady who was, what's his face's sister in the Umbrella. Mm-hmm.
No, she had big lips too.
Big lips too. Yeah.
Yeah, they all do. And the guy that played Mark Anthony, or Antony, mm-hmm. however you say it.
Mike Antony.
In the old the HBO's Rome, that guy is always a bad guy and everything now. That's his job in Hollywood. Even he's got lips that I would call voluptuous. And I think this is Tarantino's foot is what we got going on here.
You think
so? For Paul Anderson, for Paul W.S. Anderson, it's people's lips. For Tarantino, it's their feet.
Is that the main guy that we're talking about, the guy who turns?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. He's Joe in The Following, so he's a bad guy there too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a bad guy there. He's bad in Rome.
He was also the prince in A Knight's Tale.
Oh, yes.
When we watched A Knight's Tale, he's the prince who wears a big thick helmet so nobody can tell that he's royalty and tries to compete.
Yeah.
Right.
What's his name again? Remind me his name.
I'm looking for
Is it Pasquale or
Pasquale? Pasquale or Decker?
No, different.
No.
It's James Purefoy.
James Purefoy. Yeah. All right. So I saw him in a thing called Ironclad, which I thought was okay.
Yep, that was streaming for a long time. It may still be.
I think it still is. Prior to that was a movie called Solomon Kane in 2009. Looked great. Is terrible. Terrible film. But it's one of those movies where he actually plays a good guy. So if you're making middle age kind of sword and sorcery movies, good guy. He usually is a good guy.
I thought he was like, I remember when I saw The Following, the first time I saw a minute of The Following, I'm like, that's the guy from A Knight's Tale. That's the guy with the scar on his face. Well,
definitely a bad guy in that.
Yeah. He's a jerk. Yeah. He's total jerk. But did you guys see John Carter?
I don't remember it. No,
yeah.
I didn't see it.
He was in that.
Was he? Was he good? Mm-hmm. Bad? Probably bad.
I haven't seen it yet.
He was in Camelot, played King Lot. He was bad.
King Lot.
I'm surprised the guy we're talking about, James Purefoy, I'm surprised he wasn't in Timeline. He seems perfect for it.
He is a total Timeline actor. You bet he is. Oh my gosh, that's great. I actually will quite like him and I enjoy watching him. So to me, one of the highlights of President Evil.
Right. Movie. President Evil.
a movie which really cast people into roles, like where you have the token black guy, you have the cursed talking Latina, who, you know,
it's sci-fi. Like, you gotta have your racially diverse group.
Let's say Latina again. Give me that one more time.
It was Latina. Very reminiscent of Event Horizon, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Totally. Yeah.
Especially the blue light, like blue light everywhere. Like somewhere James Cameron's going, that's right, my son. That's right. Use the blue light.
The funny thing is, James Cameron came on, he had his special effects group come in like, what, part three or something like that?
Oh, really?
The big one, the big budget one, yeah.
Hold on now. You're telling me the third one has a bigger budget than the rest of these? I was unaware of this.
Yeah.
Okay. Because my memory is this. My memory is that 1, 3, and 5, I suppose, are the good ones. Is there a fifth?
I think 1, 3, and 5 is this even odds.
Because it's either one way or the other, but... But they fans of the series claim that those are the better episodes. I suppose one should figure out what the order is so you don't screw up and do the opposite.
if you're listening to this episode and you've not yet watched the movie on Netflix streaming and it's still March, turn off this episode and go watch the movie.
To it today.
It stops streaming on April 1st, 2014. If you've already seen it, you might also be able to work in Resident Evil Apocalypse. That's also streaming right now.
Is that also being pulled?
I think so.
Is that the good one?
I don't know.
I think they're all good. I'm going to put my tips on the table.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Because you own them all, and you've got a, what's her name? You got a Mila Jovovich problem is what you have.
Man, I love her album too. Brian, you remember that album?
Yeah, with the gentleman who fell.
Yeah.
What's it like? How is she? Is she good?
She has a cool voice, very very unique voice.
So my greeting for this episode was almost a rundown of Mia Jovovich's European contract.
Yeah,
when she makes a movie in Europe, it was things like she has to always start out naked. Her character must be inexplicably naked, and then
sure,
we want you to wear quickly clad in something that's just white. You know,
And so on, and oftentimes be really movie careful about showing too much. But in the last second, just go ahead and show the full boob.
There's never been a human being. There's never been a human being alive who would wake up in a bathroom in a shower naked and cover themselves as they emerge.
No, of course
you're
not.
By yourself, why would you be covering yourself?
But she did not even know who she was.
I don't like the way that sounded, but keep going. Go ahead.
Yeah, she didn't know who she was, how she got there, or nothing else. By the way, this will be on Resident Evil from 2002 is on Crackle if you don't mind watching ads.
Oh.
And Hulu Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so
okay.
you might not be totally out of luck.
It's making the rounds is what you're saying. Go ahead.
She goes from, and we were talking about her nudity. I mean, in Fifth Element, she's wearing these straps. In this one, for the last part of the movie, she's wearing a couple paper towels and some scotch tape.
Yeah, that would look terrible.
Bizarre.
That made me feel, that wasn't like an awful patient garb get up to the point that even the very attractive Mila Jovovich looked hokey in it.
I hate to get out of sequence, but does this movie intend to make any sense at the end?
No.
Or is it supposed to just be bizarro?
Here's what it's supposed to be. Wesker, probably. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Pulled her aside. Or was the other guy supposed to be Wesker? I was confused about this. I guess I better look at his role. James Purefoy played who? What was the name of his dude? Spence. Okay, forget about him. If my memory is that at some point Wesker shows up, and I want to say it's the second one. And Wesker's from the games, all right?
Wesker!
Two is game heavy. The odd ones are kind of their own lore, but it seems like the even ones always have more true game. It's a little game service.
Here's a taste of here's trying to find Wesker. Here you go. Listen carefully. Hold on. That's just music. Hold on.
Wesker.
Here we go.
You did a fine job, Barry.
Just as I thought.
I think you should stay away from Barry, Jill.
Yeah, I do too, but that's not the point.
Jill!
The point... you were almost a Jill sandwich, one of the best lines in that game. but they bring in Wesker, and I want to say Wesker was the one that put her... He was the one in the helmet you don't see.
Right.
And it may be Malfoy doing it. I can't remember for sure, but... They put her in all these things, put her all those electrodes and those wires and tubes in her.
Right.
And then injected her full of like super virus or something. Mm-hmm, so later in the sequel, she's got like superpowers, super strength and all that kind of stuff. She heals and things.
She gets cloned and stuff. You got to remember this came out and it was during a time when we all said, can you make a game? Can you make a movie on a video game? And we've seen some big crap.
Not that you can't, can you? It's will you do better than what has come before?
Right,
I mean, even he did Mortal Kombat.
Even from Paul W.S. Anderson, right?
Yeah, who knows his video games, at least, you know, seems to.
In the last 10 minutes, to answer Randy's question, the last 10 minutes, that was, to me, was a total fan service to the video game fans and saying, hey, we're going to have a part two. I don't think it was supposed to make much sense.
Honestly, I never once thought about the video game while watching this movie. It never crossed my mind.
Once when
thought about a lot.
The logo showed up a lot, that was very reminiscent of Umbrella Corporation and all that. And I played the hell out of that first game. Mm-hmm. The meat dogs, definitely a nod in that direction.
Meat dog.
Because those meat dogs jump through a stained glass window at one point in the mansion and scare the hell out of you. And it was a big deal back in the day. So that was reminiscent. But then maybe the end, I think, was supposed to, if it was playing any fan service at all, it was to say, all right, now we're in Raccoon City proper. That's where Resident Evil 2 took place. And you're in. Even though Raccoon City is the dumbest fake city name ever.
No,
it really is.
Yeah. I love it.
I hate it.
I think it's
Raccoon City.
Welcome to Raccoon City.
I dumped some trash on the ground. Oh, Raccoon City.
Are those wieners? Raccoon City.
Raccoon City. It's a stupid name for a town. Yeah. But whatever.
All the naming is stupid. That's almost clever.
But
everything is named so badly in this movie.
I agree, but the games had so much cheese in the first place, and those lines that we keep playing from that game were genuinely read, like
Jill
and
Barry.
Those were them doing real reads. Barry. They weren't dorking around. Like, that was the real thing. Now later they tried to be campy for camp's sake and all that, but the original stuff, some of that stuff got evoked. But I'm just gonna say right now, and this is maybe where I surprise you guys, because I normally can't stand Anderson movies, and I really don't like his take on a lot of stuff he's done. The AVP movie's terrible. All right, just awful.
But
here's the deal.
We like them.
No, we don't.
Death Race.
No, we don't. We don't like those. We don't.
We like Death Race. We like Death Race.
When we say we, I'm speaking as if I'm like a.
Okay. We haven't seen Death Race, have we?
No, but this? Okay, well, let's talk about what we've seen. We ragged on Event Horizon.
Yeah.
But we liked it.
Yeah, we liked the concept, the core of it, but we didn't like a lot of the execution. And I still stand by that. I love big, I've said this before, big derelict ships in space. See, I am surprising you, so this is great.
I'm really getting crushed here because I've known Scott for a long time, and it's like kind of the core of what we're doing with FilmSack is a movie like Mortal Kombat or Event Horizon or Resident Evil. It's we like it.
No, you're missing. Then you're missing my whole thing here. I liked this way more than I think I was going to. Okay. I walked away. Yeah, so maybe you have got me figured out. Okay. I had a lot more fun than I expected. I don't remember seeing the full thing at the first. In fact, I think I may have seen a bit of a DVD and that was it. I never saw it in theaters or any of that. I don't have the devotion that Brian Dunaway does to this series.
Own the entire series.
What I was going to do is say, if we threw all video game adaptations up against the wall, here's your Mario Brothers, here's your Doom, here's your everything. There's all these game adaptations. I think the two that stand out as good enough movies based on video games, meaning none of them are great, but there are a few that get by, and the two that work for me, probably this. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot to hate about it, but there's a lot of fun to be had here too. So it's probably this, and it's that Prince of Persia deal I thought was all right.
Yeah, that was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it was okay. I really like his brother that was in Batman. She was amazing in that. Oh, I'm sorry, sister.
Oh,
anyways,
come on.
So anyway, back to the whole point. I just found it more enjoyable than I perhaps had predicted, and I'm surprised by that because I thought I was going to not like it a lot.
Hey, okay. Can we talk about this for a second? This was 2002.
Yeah.
Now, this was when kind of a resurgence of zombie movies was about to happen. And we're still riding that wave, man. But 28 Days and Resident Evil, those movies kind of came out and said, we don't know what zombies are. Let's set up some rules.
Mm-hmm. They didn't even call them zombies in this. They didn't even have, once. Yeah,
they kind of follow the same rule that Walking Dead does, where we're in a timeline in a... In a world where the word zombie doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Right. And so we call them walkers. We call them biters.
Easily the biggest trope in the whole movie. Give me trope.
Whoa, hold on a second. Wait, for today, here's your trope sound.
Jill.
All right, go.
We're in a zombie movie. We don't know that they're zombies. Almost the whole movie. It was so long into this movie before they started treating the zombies like zombies. It was really amazing.
At some
amazing,
point, they started talking about reanimating dead flesh, and that's when you kind of got the idea.
Because, but nowadays, post Shaun of the Dead, basically, if you're gonna be ignorant of what zombies are, you have to even play that clearly. You have to make it clear this character has never seen a zombie movie.
Well, right, but this movie in a vacuum, you can get away with that in different ways. But this is based on a game but you're basing this on a game where zombies were a big part of what you killed all the time in the game. Mm-hmm. So one had to assume they were going to have zombies in it. Also, many people, including me, assumed we'd have characters I recognize, like Jill or Barry or Chris or a thousand other guys, Wesker, whoever. Alice is nobody. Although they tried to integrate some of that later, but in fact, I kind of gave up after Resident Evil 3. Was it called Nemesis? I think 3, whatever it was. The girl in that, I want to say, was Jill again or something.
No, 2. That would have been an even. I think Jill only shows up in the evens. Let me see.
I can't remember. And I may have. I think I played the one on the Dreamcast, which was all right. And then I never really got into. I got into 4 quite a bit, but 4 had all new people in it, so they didn't really. I mean, some of these characters, a couple of the names are people from the game. Some of the squad that came to the house the first time. So the references are there. Umbrella is a big reference. But other than that, this wasn't really about the game I played. Mm-hmm. And the trivia claims the entire cast was asked to play the video game top to bottom.
Right.
And if they did, they must have been confused themselves. Like, well, what the hell is this? Yeah. And they don't even tell you. Alice isn't even named in the movie. She's in the credits. Right. That's how we know her name is Alice.
Right, right.
Nobody ever goes, hey, Alice, help save me from
the
zombies.
Hi, I'm Alice. I'm naked.
Zombies. I love it.
My name is Alice, and this here's my nipple.
You look at it.
stare at my nipple. Anyway.
It really is. There's like a turning point when the movie Shaun of the Dead comes out, and suddenly everything has to be self-aware.
Right.
You can't any longer pretend to not know what zombies are. For very long, it's now the instant there's zombies, everybody's like, "Are there zombies? You know,
so there's zombies.
And Shaun of the Dead is what year? Do we know?
2004.
2004. Yeah. Okay. So years later. A little after this, but you're right. I think some of the rules, not the rules, but the, I think we knew we were back in on the concept then. 28 right. days later was a big deal. I thought weeks was better. And I like the rage-based fast-running zombies mm-hmm, that weren't actually mm-hmm. dead. They were just people with rage virus. I kind of actually like that move.
Yeah.
28 days later only came out like a few weeks apart from Resident Evil.
From this? Really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Very, wow. very close. Very close.
It's just a universe apart in terms of wow. tone and
quality
stuff.
And-
oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not even the same. Yeah. It's not even the same thing. And plus you see that's Cillian Murphy's wiener in that one. I'll never forget. Like the movie opens up with him in a bed, which basically mm-hmm. is it, the Walking Dead stole this whole scene. Honestly, wakes up right. in a hospital, mm-hmm. still not fully recovered. Everything around him is missing or dead, and he can't figure out why. And in that case, they decided to show us his flaccid penis.
You're welcome. Was he playing on his iPad? Some cranberries.
It was Danny Boyle, and
yeah.
Yeah,
Danny Boyle has a thing. It's mm-hmm. Tarantino's foot. I get it.
I absolutely. Yeah. Can we talk about evil elevators?
Sure.
Is that a trope?
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah, right. I'll give it one.
Gosh,
sure,
is it? If you put it's like
Jill.
It should be called Chekhov's elevator.
Right, right. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, I knew that lady was screwed. Like as soon as it went down real fast, I went, nope, it's gonna stop. I didn't remember this, but I just knew that it didn't matter. She was done either way. They weren't gonna let that go. And then for some reason, that magic elevator went the other way, which made no sense at all.
Once you get a body part, doesn't matter if it's your head, arm, leg, halfway out of the elevator, it's gone.
Oh, no, yeah. Like in Speed. Mm-hmm. Like anytime, Speed was a good example of this. Anytime people are getting halfway out of an elevator, you're done. Mm-hmm. You're dead. You're right. Maybe one person's going to get pulled last second. Somebody's right. more than likely is going to get pulled halfway and lose half their guts or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That poor lady's face, man.
We have a bad fear of elevators, I think.
They didn't show it. That movie, what's funny, is up to the laser room, that movie was kind of PG-13.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, mm-hmm. they had an opportunity right there to show, like, the woman's face going right into the...
and,
like a bit on grape.
I'm here to tell you, if this entire series had been made starting 2007 or 8 or later by all the same people, this would have been R-rated. Yeah. It would have been... lots more gore.
Well, this was R-rated, but it was soft R in my opinion. I mean, there were moments like that. I still think what probably got it the R rating was the laser room because there was nothing else really for the rest of the movie.
It was Mila's cooch. If it hadn't been for that.
Laser room wasn't that bad. It was stupid. It was laser room.
Yeah, but people was, that's a fear, not a fear I have, but that's a
I think it's a fear.
It's not quite low. It's not quite thick and liquid for you, Brian, but it's like this thing of this idea that you could take a laser and just slice through of somebody's head or whatever. Mm-hmm. This was in the first Underworld movie with a knife mm-hmm. or a sword slash where his whole, and the idea that they stand there for a second.
Right. You're
as
still
if it's
alive
dawning on them.
Yeah.
Because the laser's so finite and so cauterized that you actually probably could still think for a minute because the synapses in your brain haven't completely separated because it's such razor thin. That freaks me out.
Yeah, really? This goes back to beheading. That's the reason why they had such sharp, you know, blades. And they would ask people to blink.
I don't like that either.
Right. But that's again, right. It was the old wives' tale, the urban legend about someone getting beheaded and then saying something after their head was in the basket.
Yeah.
No, this hurts.
Hello, this hurts.
Why did anyone tell me my butt was so big?
Right.
So the laser room is the stupidest thing ever, and I could make fun of it forever because
stupidest thing, but also best.
It was awesome,
very
it was awesomely stupid.
Yeah,
very cool.
But it was clearly a nod to video game action because in a video game, you know, the boss never throws everything at you at once; it all comes at you.
It was the law of threes, wasn't it? Exactly what it was.
And
it was one easy one, next harder one. You had to really leap
jump over. Oh, Doc! Okay. So, it moves.
Yeah.
So if Danny Boyle, for instance, was depicting this, you would have seen the close-up gore of blood spurting out all directions from the cuts and so forth. Whereas in this movie, the last person who gets sliced up. Gets sliced up tremendously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's
cube steak. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's Token. I'm forgetting the name of the actor.
I forgot his name too. He's a British guy.
Plays the Token. But, you know, he's not quite Black Guy Dies First, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah.
And they don't show you. He gets cut into all these little pieces, but they don't show it to you. Instead, the camera's looking over him, past him, and you see him fall apart in a reflection.
You do see the one chunk starting to slip away, though, which is like a quarter of his face. And what if you're paying attention to that, this is why the scene, again, this is why it creeps me out so bad. Because what happens is he's not really moving at first. Then you see the seams, the slow shift of the chunk of meat of his head and face falling a little bit. And the eye is one of the cross points for one things.
Yeah.
And you see the eye, fluid of the eye, the milky fluid of the leaking, eye kind of leaking just a little bit. Holy
that was awesome.
Shit. That is horrifying to me.
Colin Salmon? Is that who it is?
Colin Salmon? Yeah,
British the most renowned actor.
Yeah, he's in tons of TV shows.
He's really good in there's a show, it's MI5. Over there it was called Snoopers or Spooks. I think it was called Spooks.
Right.
And
it was just MI5.
No, it was in Europe they called it Spooks. I'm sure of it. 100%.
I'm sure of it.
I looked this up.
I don't forget something like Spooks.
Because British people on Twitter raked me over the coals. Because I was like, man, really? MI5's great. And he says, oh, you might have liked it when it was here and it was called Spooks. I'm like, what?
Interesting. It is called, in the U.S. it was called MI5. But I don't know. I've never heard it called Spooks. Interesting.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
It is interesting.
Wikipedia is your friend. Anyway,
the Brits need to get over Americans improving the names of things and how things are spelled.
They did that because, well, let's see what they say here. It says Spooks, known as MI5 in some countries, is a British television drama that originated BBC One, blah, blah. 10 series, popular spies, groups of something. I'm trying to figure out why somewhere I read that they changed it because Spooks is considered a racial term here.
Sure. Right.
And
of course.
That was why. Yeah. Yep. So that's probably why. Anyway, point is, I saw him on Spooks and he was good. Or MI5. It was MI5 when I saw it.
One of them.
And the bottom line of that scene was it hit all the buttons for me that I needed in terms of kind of really freaking me out. And it's so claustrophobic in there. Just that whole idea is really freaky to me. It was very video gamey, like Randy said. Their bodies disappeared later, which is also very video gamey.
Where did they go? It was so weird because if you sliced three people up, you would have such a mess.
You'd be a huge mess. The guy that got cut in half would be a mess.
Well, they have a Roomba.
We're mostly fluids.
They have a big flesh Roomba.
Zombie Roomba. Yeah. My only explanation was that they must, like I said in my greeting, they must have expected the dogs to come in and eat everything.
They might have. I guess
send in the dogs. Oh, they're rolling around in it now.
There's some funny trivia about those dogs that they had a really hard time because they used actual meat in some cases for the side flanks of those dogs, and the dogs wouldn't stop turning around. You'd have to give them the cone. They just wouldn't stop licking it. Of course they would. I don't care how trained your dogs are. You put meat on those dogs.
I'm delicious.
Some trivia says that after returning to the laser hallway, I already talked about that. The crew had a hard time dealing with the dogs who kept licking their blood. I already talked about that. The film was originally titled Resident Evil Ground Zero, but the title was changed to just Resident Evil after the September 11th attacks in the U.S. The Ground Zero thing was too sensitive of a thing to say, so they quit doing that. No, I can speak to this. You want me to? I'll tell you a little note about this. So I made the Nerdtacular 2014, which is coming up in July, and you guys should get your tickets, everybody out there, nerdtacular.com. We never advertise anything on here, but go get your tickets. I made the poster this year, and it features a giant robot in the forest, rampaging around, big laser coming out of its eye. Big stupid idea, right? And he's dropping both of his big robot claws are dropping a couple of people out of his hands. And down by one of the hands I wrote, Salt Lake City is Ground Zero.
Nah.
And I didn't think anything of it. It wasn't meant to be a reference or anything like that. And I got a reader who wrote me and goes, I can't believe you would.
Really?
Me. Yeah, he was all flipping out. And I went, well, now that you say it, I cannot see it.
No, Ground Zero was a name we already had before.
I know, but you know how stuff works.
Can we never use that phrase again?
It's like thongs and flip-flops, man. When I was living in the 80s, I wore a pair of thongs. But guess what? That's up people's butts now, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Pun intended.
Nothing I can do about it at this point. So anyway.
I disagree that the phrase Ground Zero as a descriptor more than, I don't know, 5 years after 2001 is sacred. I totally disagree.
We have to take it back, man. We have to take it back.
It doesn't. It's not even a matter of taking it back. I just don't think there's anything wrong with saying, Snowbird is Ground Zero for Nerdtacular. I don't think that is some sort of abomination.
I don't think we've.
Probably depends on how close you are to the situation.
But But you know, exactly. We're all sitting here saying that, but then there's probably somebody listening right now going, you guys suck.
Am I 10 years ago? 10 years ago, I think that's cool. But now, I mean, enough time has passed.
I have a great aunt who, if you brought a Japanese kid over to the house, she'd go into full lockdown. So I think it just depends.
Go.
It depends on who you are and where you're at. And I'm a big believer in quit letting words take on meanings that permanently make the word useless. I freaking hate that. Mm-hmm. I would rather just freaking use it. But there's going to be somebody. Everyone's offended by everything. What are you going to do? The bottom line is these guys were awful close to it. So if you're in 2002, you're about to release your movie.
Right.
And mm-hmm. everyone's mm-hmm. using the term ground zero for that attack. Mm-hmm. I could see them changing it.
You know what offends me?
Totally agree.
Yeah.
People yelling at me while I'm trying to program.
What are you
trying to, right? I'm like, right. Stop yelling at me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there's people like dying a few feet away. You're desperately trying to program something.
Oh, that guy.
There were
right.
at least two additional voices screaming at that guy.
It had to be. Who the hell's even yelling at me right now?
I captured that. Paul W.S. Anderson married Mila Jovovich.
Lucky.
That following year. So they were getting it on.
Oh, no. I read that they got married like 5 years after this movie.
Well, this is according to the internet. I have no idea. I have no idea. Like the video games, after something is switched on or off, something else happens elsewhere. When the Red Queen is deactivated for the first time, all doors elsewhere are opened. And that, I would argue, was part of why I didn't like those games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like mystery doors opening someplace.
Yeah, nobody like designs their palace, their supervillain palace with, okay, hold on. Let me run back over to the living room to switch this on so I can use the fridge.
Yep.
You're trying to make sense out of a supervillain palace that has gas that can...
and meat dogs, yeah, sure. Yep.
Dogs they can initiate anytime.
Yep. I like this trope.
Jill!
It's when... it's every video game trope where you've got hidden skills you didn't know you had because your mind was erased for some reason. Yeah. And they just keep coming up later. So she does the wall run and sidekicks the dog, which made me laugh out loud.
To rock and roll, which she always did.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You always knew what was about to happen when the rock and roll hit. It's like, oh, thumbs bad. It's
funny. And this movie's never scary. Mm-hmm. And that's also how I felt about the games. They never really, like those games were supposed to be survival horror, but the only games that really freaked me out were like Silent Hill, and games like that really did freak me out and scare me. This didn't scare me, and the games never did. They were just kind of like,
it's action. It's really
sure. The dogs jumping through the window during the first early part of that game, yes, scared me. After that, nothing really. It's a few jump scares, but it was mostly like, what are we doing? I don't know. Blah, shoot stuff. I'm out of ammo. The scares were more like stress that you were going to die, but not because you were scared of what was coming, but because you knew you had three bullets in the chamber and you were all out of ferns that healed you or whatever.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that was the extent of your experience with that game. And the movie was the same for me. I know when I'm scared in a movie. Not
I was only
this.
Scared that Michelle Rodriguez's lips were going to explode. That's the only time
dude,
I really got
I
scared.
Really like her. Let's lay this out here.
Yeah.
I lean toward the brunettes anyway. That's just me generally.
Mm-hmm. Skew brunettes.
Yes. Say that properly without messing that up. I really think she's awesome. And I know she gets a lot of heat for either playing the same character all the time or being a problem off screen. She's always kind of in trouble or getting arrested for stuff or whatever. Yeah. Right. I just think she's totally my kind of
movie lady. She's too angry for me. That's the reason why I like Mila. I like Mila a lot.
I would take, if you gave me, okay, here's your fight. Here's your choice.
We're on shaky territory right now. I'm really wondering what you're about to say.
If you put them both in a cast and you said, which one do you want to play your female action lead? I would go with Rodriguez. Where do you think I was going to go with that? Which one do I want to make out with?
I don't know. I felt like suddenly we were at a human trafficking auction.
Which one are you gonna buy,
place
Brian?
An order or something.
You got $100. Which one do you take home? Yeah, no, I don't mean like that. But
it's time to mud wrestle.
She gets a lot of heat. I think she's great. I like her in things. I think she's compelling. I don't think she was particularly good at acting in this, but she was fine as a presence. And she's tough and she's not ugly tough. She's still kind of hot tough. And she's good in like Avatar. And I think she's fine. I liked her on Lost even.
Yeah, she plays a lot throughout this whole series. Yeah. Spoilers. Spoilers. She comes back. Clone.
Oh,
spoilers.
Yeah. She comes back.
But yeah.
Well, isn't there a thing called Blood Rain, like Resident Evil Blood Rain, or am I thinking of a different?
You're thinking of Blood Rain, which is a whole other game.
Okay. I was thinking, oh, there's Resident Evil Blood Rain, so that must be the one where she comes back.
No, let's look at them all. There's Resident Evil Retribution. That was way later, though. Hold on.
Right.
Okay. So there's. Okay. There was this. Then there was Apocalypse in 2004. 2007 right. was Extinction. I remember that not being good.
Yeah, that was back to the
2010 Afterlife.
Well, that's pretty good.
2012 Retribution. Those are all your movies.
And that was all right. I actually didn't think Retribution was.
Oh, and six is being made.
It was just
yeah.
I
bet you there's one coming.
Yeah.
Oh, there is. Six is on its way. It's 2015 or something like that. Or
these are. Paul Anderson's writing all these now, but he is not directing any of them anymore.
It's actually slated for September the 12th, 2014. So that's pretty close. We should be seeing trailers soon.
Let's get on that.
Mm.
Let's get right on that.
Yeah.
And it's a time frame, 2002 to 2014, when movies like this have gotten better. Mm-hmm. And so it's weird to say, I'll bet you over, if you sit and watch all these movies, you're going to enjoy it more and more as you go. But damn it, this movie was just full of crap.
Mm-hmm. Like, and joyless. There was really
right.
There
was perfectly right.
Yeah, and it's not just because it's a horror movie, it's a thriller. Just right. The fact that even the thrill wasn't fun. It wasn't like, oh, that's great. The only point where I'm saying, oh, this is actually kind of cool is the stupid hallway that would never
right.
It would never happen.
Oh, he directed this Pompeii that's out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. The reviews on that are not great. It's not the worst thing, but you know, it looks like Film Sack. We're set for Film Sack in the future.
Mm-hmm. We won't run out of Paul Thomas or Paul W.S. Anderson for a while.
Right, probably so, not.
So did any of you notice like how he shot people using guns?
Up the nose.
Worse. It was so worse. If you really want to be disappointed in action sequences, just go to any one of them in this movie where somebody uses a gun and notice how often it's just a shot of a pair of hands holding a gun
empty gun.
Shaking it back and forth and back and forth.
Right. So like from target to target kind of thing.
Like, no, it's like it may not even be the right actor holding the gun. It may just be some hand model holding a gun, and you're so close.
Hand
in
models
on it.
In. Come on, hand models.
That's
it's
true.
So sad. Like if you watch this movie with the sound off, and I always do this for some reason with Film Sack movies, at some point I turn the sound off and watch for a few minutes.
Really?
Like, look at this stupid shot of this hands holding a gun and shaking it back and forth. Like, that's all I'm seeing. How can this be action?
I do just the opposite. If it's an action film, I crank it up. Mm. I put the headphones on and I just crank it totally up. And that really sucks you in. I mean, you really get the full effect of what they were intending with the music.
Does something. It felt... I felt like the 90s hadn't given up yet.
It's like a little bit of Novocaine.
Yeah, I guess.
That is the exact way to summarize what I'm getting at, Scott. The 90s were still clinging with this movie.
Still trying real hard.
And this is 3 years after The Matrix. What?
Yeah, it's a long time. So listen to this personal quote. I think it says something about the director. And look, I have zero bad things to say about this guy. He's making movies. They're making money. Who cares, right? Do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But his personal quote is this. Aliens versus Predator 2004 is not trying to be Alien or Aliens or not even trying to be Predator, he says. Those are genius movies. That's great. What an awesome quote.
That's what
quote.
I love about him. Yeah, I love him.
He's
about
like,
him.
I'm not trying to read. I'm not trying to impress anybody with my version of this. I'm just trying to say, look, let's take these cool characters, go in a new direction. I'm totally fine with that. He's directing the new Resident Evil. Maybe I'll go watch all these movies now. I mean, I may actually do that. Why not? I'm on the treadmill a lot. Got to burn time. Why not?
It's probably good. Yeah, these are probably good treadmill movies.
Sure.
After we watched Hellraiser on Film Sack, I was like, I'm watching all the movies. And then I watched Hellraiser 2, and I was done.
Yeah, you were out. Yeah. I remember you were. I remember you were hinting you might do that. Yeah,
it gets pretty bad.
Does it?
Yeah.
Which one has her dead? Is she dead in one of these?
She dies at the end of 2, right? And they clone her for 3.
Because Extinction, she's on another planet, I think. And she's her cover is a silhouette of her walking against the sun, and she looks like what's her name from Tomb Raider?
Mm-hmm. Laura Croft.
Her name from Tomb Raider?
Extinction. Yeah,
Laura Croft. Sorry, Lara Croft.
Lara Croft.
Lara, is it Lara?
By the way, thanks to the name of this movie,
Jim
Lair. Resident Evil,
yeah.
I have a really hard time saying, now let me get it right,
President Evil.
The phrase Parasite Eve.
Oh.
Ah,
I
yes,
have a
yes.
really hard time with that phrase.
Why?
I always want to call it Resident Eve.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Parasite Eve came around in the same time-ish, and it was also kind
of weird. I've even accidentally said the phrase Resident Eve online.
Oh, my gosh.
There's two, these games with the names.
Well, all right.
That's quite the portmanteau.
Let's see. How about that montage that the Rome did? I kind of liked that. I thought it was kind of like, oh, you're the one that spilled the coffee on the other dude, and you're the one that threw the T-virus.
Right, it's like, wow, you did the virus. You spilled the coffee on that
you're
guy.
You're such a dick.
Yeah.
I like that
I actually
stuff.
Think this movie would have been a lot better without that.
Okay.
And without the whole rundown with the bad CGI of
CGI was terrible.
Of what the beehive looks like and how the train connects to it.
No texture modeling.
Right. With like, right, placing the little red bodies to show where they are with, you know.
Strawberry jam, I think is what they used.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, though, how they did the evolution of that creature. So that creature, when it first showed up and was on the ceiling with the tongue before he attacked dude from Rome, that's an actual creature modeled pretty down to the detail from the game.
Right.
Those were terrible. I hated those things. But then they had it evolve and kind of become the bigger terrible thing at the end of that game, suggesting that all those creatures were perhaps in various stages of metamorphosis toward that end. That was really interesting. And from the game kind of fan perspective, like, oh, okay.
Right.
Cool, man. I like that. I
like that a part of it. And hey, Randy. Mm-hmm. Did you know something bad was going to happen with those pipes when they got in the train and they were all hammocked in those
As soon as you see the pipes, yeah. Right.
There was
Olaf going through something.
Yeah.
This is, you know, we were talking about it with the Chekhov's elevator. If you put people in an elevator, you better squish somebody. Like, this movie just has that everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere you go, you're just like, oh, that's gonna come into play. Next. I'm going to see that in a minute.
Next time you see Tom, ask him about his elevator phobia. He's actually got a very specific one.
Really?
I think a lot of people do. Because elevator's a strange thing to exist, you know?
And if you think about it, you're in this thing. If you're in one that's pretty full, let's say you're at a con or something, and you got eight strangers in there with you. And the idea that thing would stop and not work, and it would be between floors so you couldn't get out, is kind of freaking terrifying.
Right. Those people may be, that's why I always think when I get in an elevator, I always get on and go, this may be the last people I ever see.
Yep.
Are these the people I want to spend the rest of my life with?
Right.
I don't think that way, but I do think if I worked, like the highest floor I've ever worked on was the fourth floor, and I don't think counts. But if I worked in a place where I go for more than maybe 7 to 10 floors every time I ride an elevator, I'd probably have a little elevator emergency kit on me just for fun.
I think I would too. Some sort of sustenance, because at some point you're going to have to eat one of these eight people. Let's say the rest of the world, like with this scenario, would be the rest of the world ends. Yeah, I need a little Bunsen burner.
I'm eating you first.
But I would think.
Let's get into it. There was a huge viral video a couple years ago where a guy got trapped in an elevator for over a day. And
they had the
closed circuit video of the guy, and the video you watch gets fast forwarded really high, and you watch this guy flit around from this spot to this spot, and he spends a lot of time laying on his back and with his feet up on the wall and so forth. And there are things that never happen. He never pees. He never poops. He never masturbates.
In the corner, he's not going to masturbate. No one does that.
Star Trek.
Who would do that? Okay, stop for a second. I want to know who is doing that in a stuck elevator. At one point, you go, oh, no, I'm stuck here. I'm 5 hours in here. Let me go rub one off in the corner.
We were just talking about the fear of dying. And I'm saying that I would think at some point some sort of really private and personal things might happen.
Right.
You're just looking in on a person who maybe doesn't even know he's being looked in on.
Oh, you know you're getting looked in on an elevator. I'm always paranoid about that. I'm always paranoid. This mind's watching me now.
Yeah, I don't care about that as much as I do the actual getting stuck and the actual breakdown of social rules and everybody losing their crap and one guy being the sneaky bastard that would kill you in a second and the other lady who's helpless and you need to see what you can do to help her. And like all my movie tropes come into this big avalanche for that whole notion. So, as long as I don't think about it, I'm fine in an elevator.
I got to try again because you derailed me and I shouldn't have said, I made a mistake of saying a word that gets Scott Johnson's hair to stand up.
No, it's not that. I don't care. Dude, hey, everybody. Masturbate till the sun goes down. I don't care. I'm saying nobody does that trapped in an elevator.
I'm in the elevator with you.
Come back to me. Hold on. My question for you is, if you were going to be stuck in an elevator for 24 hours, would you rather be completely by yourself for 24 hours stuck in an elevator?
Right.
Or would you rather have random chance other person?
I would rather be by myself.
Random people. I want them.
Totally by myself.
Yeah, I think random people.
I need somebody to make sure that I maintain the social order.
But if they don't, you can't control any of them.
This guy is going to make sure I don't masturbate in the corner.
You can only control yourself, though. You're the only person.
Jovovich movie the other day.
You're the only person you can count on in that scenario. I don't trust everybody else. I think if it was someone I knew, that'd be different. But
no, I got to have somebody I can. I usually take the leadership role when I'm in a small
emergencies.
Group.
I do the same thing. If there's an emergency, I take leader role.
And so I like, but that's the reason why I take that is because I like to be able to send off the idiots to get killed for me, so that I don't have to die.
But you're all 4 feet away from each other, though.
Yeah,
you can't send them off somewhere.
Yeah, I can. Why don't you climb up in the ceiling there and see if there's anything? Oh, he died.
This is such a fun question because it tells you a lot about a person. I promise you, if you gave me that option, I'm about to step on the elevator, I would beg you to get trapped on the elevator by myself.
Really? Because, me too.
Because random other person doesn't appeal to me. Even a chance that it's somebody really awesome to be trapped with. It doesn't appeal to me at all, and I really would like to spend a day by myself.
Right. Randy would like to masturbate in the corner without any
But you don't know how long it's going to be. You don't know that it's going to be a day.
So you take somebody, right?
I take somebody.
But what does that person do for you if you go for longer than a day? What's the
Give
point
me
of
some,
it?
Some person, somebody to talk to so I don't go crazy. I think that's it. You know, I mean, God, I have a hard time if I'm in a hotel room for like a week by myself.
See, I don't know what it is. Something about the scenario. I would rather be alone. Now, if somebody said, hey, your film sack buddies or four strangers who look like the most perfect upstanding people ever, I'm picking you guys.
Right.
Even if those other guys turn out to be, one's a paramedic, one's a therapist, you know. Like,
all right. Okay. All right. We'll play your game. Your film sack buddies.
Yeah.
Or Sandra Bullock, Michelle Rodriguez, and
You're building another weird fantasy scenario that isn't like part of the emergency. Let's go back to one person. It's either me and Brian Ibbett in that elevator, or it's me and Sandra Bullock. I'm going Brian Ibbett.
Of course.
Because I don't know her. I've only seen her on TV, movies, and I don't know what she's going to be like in it. Like, I think I have a pretty good idea of what Brian's going
to
do.
Really irritating in an elevator.
She might be. She might be the freaking worst.
Turn your head. I'm going to masturbate in the corner.
Turn your head.
Oh my gosh, what a fun hypothetical that was. I really enjoyed that. We should do more of those.
Yeah.
All right. Should we do clips? Are we at that point of the show?
We haven't done that yet, but we need to.
All right, let's get to these damn clips. There are a number of them, and I don't have them. Yeah, I do have them right here. Let's get to the elevator panic. Speaking of elevators, a little panic on the elevator.
What's going on? Has this happened before?
We have to get out of here. We have to get out of here. Take it easy.
Do you take it easy?
Quiet, man.
I'm not that guy.
I need to hear.
I am so the guy who would be going, everybody calm down. Everything's going to be fine, even though inside I'm falling apart.
My shirt has coffee on it.
You guys should hear Tom. You guys all know, most even-handed, logical.
If you say so.
Non-panicky guy you'll ever meet.
Right.
But then talk about elevators and then see the other side of Tom.
I've been on an elevator with Tom.
I'm telling you, I don't think that is as remarkable as you do. I think we are all wired. Like, we have 100,000 years of evolution working against us being confined in a box with other people that's moving.
I agree.
The whole everything about it is all wrong and we're resistant to it.
Now, if you had to here's one. Sorry, go back to the hypothetical.
All right.
Let's say we got a big freight elevator. Okay. And the entirety of all of our sort of frog pants friends are in there. It's you guys. It's Spags. It's the it's Tom and Eileen. It's Veronica. Like, everybody's in there. Now,
everybody is a cut up. No, I can't deal with that.
Now, the bad side of this.
And somebody farts.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Even like Schwood and Jury, like everybody's in there.
Right.
And we're going up an elevator. Clunk, clunk. It stops. Lights go out. Red emergency lights come on. The whole city is now zombies and dead or otherwise, and there is no getting out because no authorities are looking for us. Nobody knows we're even in there. We somehow survived because we it was like Night of the Comet. We were protected from the rays or whatever. So now we're all in there, and we have to build a society and do it in the size of a freight elevator.
Right.
To eat, we need to kill somebody and then eat them. Who do we kill first in the group?
Wow. Who dies first in the film sack pantheon or... Frog Pants Pantheon. That's a good question.
Like, who goes first, man?
Well, who do we try to shut up first?
Because that leads to it, right? Because it's got to include everybody. Because I picture, like, Daryl the Trek Nerd will be in the corner going, oh, I'll just do it. Oh, you guys can eat me.
One time on Star Trek.
Yeah.
You guys, kill him!
You can eat me.
Kill him!
I'm a little gamey, but it's fine. Like, who? I can't say, like, think about what a horrible situation that would be.
I think it had to be Mark Spagnuolo because I think he would taste the best.
You think so?
I think he's smoked.
Right. Yeah, he's really good smoked.
Well, it would have to be a dude because the Frog Pants extended family is more male than female. And if we do get out of this thing, we need to repopulate. We have to keep Veronica and Eileen and Nicole, everybody around.
They need to be healthy, right?
I hate this discussion.
I love it, dude.
I don't understand
to
what
Randy
we're
first because you can't.
What
deal
are
with
we?
I
what
know.
Are we doing?
I don't know
in this
what
discussion?
We're doing either. I don't know
today,
either.
On the last episode of Film Sack,
we're going to determine who we're going to eat first. I like these kinds of hypotheticals, but I don't know why we're doing it now.
The last time we actually had this discussion about, well, the four of us, who would we eat first? For some reason, I was chosen for the immediate slaughter, and I still don't understand why.
That's because
you've been pickled the most. So.
Because Randy, the three of us have already talked about this. Yeah.
Yes, I got that feeling.
And you're always sipping whiskey during the show, and that means you're far more pickled than the rest of us. You're going to be flavorful.
We've got a gentleman's agreement, Randy.
Yeah. You're
I will have you know. I will have you know. I'm 100% sober today. And I remember now you were talking about, that I was well marinated.
Marinated, right. Like a nice whiskey marinade.
Just today, I got an Amazon delivery because they deliver on Sundays here.
Yay.
Of a silicone tray that makes spherical ice cubes.
Oh, my gosh.
And that is currently.
Ask why we're eating you first.
Yeah. It is in my freezer right now making. Four beautiful ice balls.
Dunaway says that's why we're eating you first, and I'm trying to figure out why you would say that. What about round ice balls would make you want to eat him first?
Because he would tell us something like that.
Yeah, because he would say,
hey guys, guess what I guessed.
Right. No, I'm just saying I'm really excited because I'm going to.
That's awesome.
I'm going to have.
Randy, you're first to go. Do you want to go in the corner and rub one out before we?
We'll let you have it. God. Any final words and one last trip to the corner? We like to. It's now called the trip to the corner. Yeah. Hey, Eileen, Veronica, you guys, could you avert your eyes? This is Randy's last time. Everyone, just chill out. All right, let's do this one. If you say hello, you will scare the birds. This is a lesson I learned from the movie. If you walk outside and you literally just say in a normal voice, "Hello." You'll freak out all the birds everywhere. And here's how that goes.
Hello.
Good heavens, dude.
Now, please tell me someone else noticed that this woman has zero peripheral vision.
None.
Every single time something comes up to her from the side, she's surprised.
She'd see it in reflections more than she would see it out of her periphery. I think you're right.
Like, go back and watch this movie. Watch for her peripheral vision. It's ridiculous.
Is it periphery or is it peripheral?
It's periphery. If you're saying I see you on the periphery.
Right.
Or I see you in my peripheral vision.
I'm not doing periphery. Forget it.
I'm gonna get eaten first now for saying
it. It was like a drinking game. You could take a drink every time she doesn't see something peripherally and get drunk.
There you go, Brian. Peripherally.
Peripherally.
I just say out of the corner of her eye.
Out of the corner of her periphery. All right, here we go. What's this? Oh, Robot Man comes in all scary and says...
Report now.
Report now.
Report it now.
Actually kind of like that stuff. Not much of a payoff, though. He turned out to be a nice guy. He wasn't like the Darth Vader I'd hoped for. All right, what happened here? right here.
I'm not sure I want to remember what went on down here.
I don't blame you.
Come back. No. I don't blame you.
Let's see. The Red Queen makes things hard. Here you go. Right.
What's
here.
Taking so long?
Red Queen's defenses are in place. She's making it difficult.
Oh,
wrong.
She's making it difficult, is she? So the Red Queen was just the computer system, right?
Yeah.
Did I didn't blink and miss like she's an actual like alien queen.
No, it was just personified sometimes by the little girl, the little hologram girl. But
all right, which didn't work for me either.
That was horrible.
Look, I had fun with these stupid
You're
little tropes.
You're all going to die.
Please shut it off.
How about this one? Don't bite the Rodriguez.
She was crazed. She bit me.
She's gone.
She's gone now.
She was crazed.
She was crazed.
Crazed.
What happened?
She bit me.
How are you feeling now?
her delivery is so earnest.
It's so her way, too. It's just the way she does everything. And I admit, she's kind of one trick that way. She's this way in everything she's in, but I like the one trick. It's the Michael Cera effect. It's like you're good at the one thing, and I'm okay with it. I don't know why people are so hard on her. I get the whole, like, she does a lot of sort of drinking and driving.
Yeah.
That's bad. But in the movies, what's the problem? That's really the only relationship we have with her.
Mm-hmm.
So why can we? Why are we ripping on the other part? So I can have a celebrity poop segment on the morning stream.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Without that, there is no poop.
That's right. Because she's crazed.
She was crazed.
All right. She killed my team.
That homicidal bitch killed my team.
That homicidal bitch may be our only way out of here.
Homicidal bitch.
One more line too.
Isn't it? And they were referring to the Red Queen again? Or was it the
big-lipped
science?
They were referring to the Red Queen.
Okay.
Red Queen.
Great.
Checkmate.
Bitch.
Check. There was a little Jesse Pinkman in your voice just now.
Bitch.
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 Nobody does
that homicidal bitch may be our only way out of here, Mr. White.
Yo.
What else? She killed. Oh, I did that. The Hollow Girl speaks.
It reanimates the body.
It brings the dead back to life.
Not fully. The subjects have the simplest of motor functions, perhaps a little memory, virtually no intelligence. They are driven by the basest of impulses, the most basic of needs.
I wonder why they went with Cockney instead of... you know what I mean?
It's Adele.
Yeah, she is Adele.
You guys are going down my tunnel now.
Adele does it.
Exactly. The point with her is, though, you would think they would... Okay, so that's the equivalent here of us having some guy in Alabama do the voice. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Whether for fair or for
now,
not.
Now that you put it that way, I like this idea.
Y'all better turn it off. You're pissing off the Red Queen. We're all going to die.
Y'all pissing off Red Queen.
Yeah,
it was justified.
That's right. I'll kill y'all. All right, what about your wounds? I spelled it wrong, but what about your wounds is what I wrote.
Brain. What? You have to do something about your wounds. I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm just throwing up blood and whatever else I'm doing. How come it took her so long, by the way, to show signs? Everybody else was a zombie in 5 seconds.
Like instant, yeah. Well,
this, they played loosey-goosey with the zombie rules in this movie.
Well, they all had the gas through the vents. Mm-hmm. She got bit. That seemed...
Well, she just kind of got... If you look at it... If you look at it, it was really more of a flesh wound. It wasn't really deep. If you look at her little hand where she got bit, it wasn't... It was kind of
I only looked at that when she was flicking blood on the zombie...
That's the other thing. She bled it out. She had the venom. She bled it out. That's the reason why. There you go. There's the answer.
All right, fine. They should have explained that more. Actually, kind of like the way they did that. Watching them all freak out like it was their only source of nutrient. I thought that was great.
I have this feeling, though, that if you were caught in a room with a Halon fire suppression system and the Halon was filling the room, I don't think you'd be running around screaming and flopping around on the floor. Mm-hmm. I think you would just slump.
Is that what that's called, by the way, a Halon?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about like office sprinkler.
The gas coming from the ceiling kind of thing?
Right.
Not the water, but
the computers. They're going to get wet.
No, no, no. Different. The one with the white gas coming from the ceiling in the other room.
Oh. And the people who were being suffocated by Halon were jumping around and flopping on the floor and banging on the walls so hard. And I just
masturbating in the corner.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Oh, this is it. This is it.
This is it. Your turn, Bill.
I think you would just Halon gas.
I think you would hold your nose because I'm sure it stinks really bad. And I think you would just like fall over.
Nothing
like you would just slump.
Turns me on like Halon gas. You heard it here first. Here is a yelling dude.
Go!
All right, that's your yelling dude. Yeah. Yeah, he knew what he was doing. All right, I have some audio from Ibbot. He went to an Applebee's.
Oh, jeez. Who is the subject of these?
I know. Every time, I don't know what you're doing on the weekends, but he goes to an Applebee's. He ordered their weird little 3 for $7 deal or whatever.
Did
he
get the
little
riblets?
Steak. Yeah, the riblets.
I usually get the riblets.
Sure, riblets, shrimp something, salad, right. Whatever.
Sure.
And they brought the check, and he forgot his wallet. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry, I forgot my wallet. And they replied with...
You're going to have to work for your meal.
All right. There you go. It's a long way to go for it. You'll have to work for your meal.
But it was good.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. Let's see. What will Michelle do when she gets out of there?
When I get out of here, I think I'm going to get laid.
Yeah. Might want to clean up a little bit first.
Yeah.
She's such a dude.
She is a dude. Mm. She's from San Antonio, Texas. And just lovely.
Lovely.
Wow, Scott.
I have a thing for her. I like her a lot. All right. What else we got here? WTF, man. There you go.
What the f*** is that?
One of the Hive's early experiments.
Now, the whole point of that is now I can use this.
What the f*** is that?
Anytime I feel like it.
Yes, you can. Right.
Anytime I want. All right. Finally. Scott Fletcher said something. Where is it? Oh, I think we've already played it, though. I'll play it again.
She took a chunk clean out of me.
All right, there you go. Thank
you,
Scott Fletcher.
By the way, when Michelle Rodriguez made this movie, she was like 23.
Yeah, very young. She doesn't seem to age. She's pretty much stayed.
I thought she was way older, though. Like, watching this movie, I was thinking she was like 30 or 35. She
plays older, stays younger. It's weird.
She is currently 35 as we speak.
Yeah. And calming down a little bit. She hasn't been in trouble in a while. Everything's fine. Oh, isn't she she's in the news all the time now because she got one of them lesbian relationships going with somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
with somebody.
Man, yeah.
I watched the stupid, and I mean stupid, LA local news, and I haven't heard this.
Michelle Rodriguez and Cara Delevingne. Delevingne.
You are making that up.
I'm not. Let me tell you her name. It's Michelle Rodriguez and Cara Delevingne sharing a sexy topless kiss.
That doesn't mean nothing.
They're at some game making out. They have a history of public displays of affection.
Girls kiss all the time.
But they're really, they're heavy making out, dude. They ain't just kissing.
Oh, they do it all the time. It's girls. It's a girl thing.
I think this is a deal. I think there's a thing going. They're holding hands all the time. It's fine. I mean, whatever, man. Whatever.
Hey, but we're okay with that.
Yeah,
so
do whatever you want. It's fine. Whatever.
Sure.
I don't think I said that lady's name right, though.
No,
I don't
no.
think you
Can we agree on that?
So no, Travolta, you did not.
Great. Let's get to the checklist then. Oh, it's the checklist. And the Film Sack checklist goes like this. Evil-looking guy turned out to be evil. Check. Mm-hmm. Strongest tongue in the history of the world. Check. Remember that?
Right?
With his nail in the tongue and the thing just hung on for dear life.
Oh, man.
So it burst into flames on the third rail.
Yeah. Bad CGI tongue, though. Bad. And then Zombie Rodriguez popping her neck before attacking. Check. Let's see here. Star Trek connections. None, according to Daryl the Trek Nerd.
Really?
I can't believe there's not one.
That is crazy, isn't it? Jeez.
There's got to be one, but he
maybe
said
maybe the detector broke. Give me a second.
All right, look it up.
Let's move on, and I'm going to see if I can find a Trek connection.
The
right
detector
now.
Broke.
The detector. What's going on? Soundtrack grade, I'd give it an LNNL for Like the 90s Never Left, because that's what that music was.
Yeah.
That's your
appropriate
fight
for the video game that it was based on. Yeah,
sure.
I liked it. Sure.
Why not? That's it for that. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you. No, wait. Yeah, this is it. Twitter post. While Randy's still looking that up.
Yes,
Randy,
that's what we're doing. Twitter post. Yeah,
I can do it. I can do it.
Okay, you can do it. All right. Twitter post. We're going to sum it up in 140 characters or less. Let's begin with Randy Jordan.
Resident Evil. the Umbrella Corporation makes zombies, and only Lilu Dallas Multipass can stop them. Her secret weapon? A skirt shaped like a mullet.
It's kind of a skirt, a skirt, or whatever you said before.
Shaped like a mullet.
There it's a skirt.
A skirt, yeah.
Escorts.
A Ford escort. Brian Dunaway.
Hi, Resident Evil. Like being stuck on an elevator with the Frog Pants All-Stars. You just can't decide who to kill first. It's Randy. Checkmate.
You made this. You made that up as personal. We went today.
I made it personal.
That's all right.
I had another one, but this was.
I'm not eating Randy first. I feel like we need his calm, cool, collected brain.
What? I think if anybody in that elevator, Randy's going to be the one who knows how to get us out.
Yeah, or he'll know which one
back
to eat.
When I was an elevator technician for Schindler,
but he'll know who to eat.
I've returned to the well on a joke about being experienced in something that I'm not, to the point that you think I actually am. I love that. Thank you.
Honestly, we probably want to eat like Schleicher, honestly, if it comes right down to it, because he's a meaty guy. He's
right. He's delicious too.
He's delicious to the taste.
Well, or Jury. I think Jury's just going to be, he's going to be the freak out guy with coffee on his shirt.
You won't quite be able to.
He's too gristly.
Yeah, he's gristly, but you won't be able to put your finger on what he reminds you of. You just won't be able to figure it out. It'll be just as ambiguous as his current racial makeup is now.
What does this taste like?
Yeah, what is this like? I don't know. It's kind of, I like Mexican, but that's not really Mexican. It's kind of Italian. I don't know what that is. A little Jewish in there? Anyway, he'd love this joke.
There's nothing I could say in my Twitter post that's going to be as funny as what we were just
No,
saying.
Probably not, but let's try anyway. Good it's luck. Brian Nibbett with his Twitter post.
Resident Evil. Like the game, it has weird acting, disconnected plot lines, and nonsense mechanics. Unlike the game, I finished the movie.
That was good. What do you do?
Snap!
My expectations were low, and you exceeded them.
Good.
Nice job.
That was my intent all along.
Good deal. Well, it's time for this. It's the alternate title. Envelope just handed to me. They almost called this movie Michelle Rodriguez Gets Bitten in the Arm the Same Place 4 Times, or...
Right.
Cubed meat. Got an email from Jason. Let's read an email here. It says, hello, gentlemen. Before I make a suggestion, I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. You actually make me look forward to my 40-mile commute. Those are long commutes, people that have those.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I thought 23 miles when I was working was a long commute.
I had a 30 for a while, and that sucked. But 40? Man. Jeez. Every day? I assume, is it both ways? We'd have to find out. Anyway. How many people could say that? Anyway, I just was watching movie trailers on YouTube, and I came across a clip of the yet-to-be-released Fantastic Four movie produced by Roger Corman in 1994. Apparently, the studio was about to lose its rights to the comic book and quickly threw this together. And we've talked about the history of this thing and the desire for us to watch it, but it was never meant to be seen by the public, but it was, of course, and it leaked. I have a VHS copy somewhere that I think it was totally hacked together. And now it's available to watch in its entirety, all on YouTube, absolutely for free.
No tubes.
The film is a disaster, but it's far more entertaining to watch than the big-budget 2005 version starring Jessica Alba was. Definitely sackable. Thanks for the show. Looking forward to Nerdtacular in July, and keep up the good work. Jason, we look forward to seeing you there, shaking your hand. And we have to put this on. This may even be our Nerdtacular movie.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
The Roger Corman Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
I remember it being so unwatchable, but I think I probably had the same bootlegged, copied a million times VHS tape version that super dark, super hard to watch.
I'd like to point out, we have a really good candidate for this year. Mm. It's like, to beat this candidate, somebody's going to have to come up with something that is just legendary.
What was it? I forgot.
We haven't disclosed it to the public yet.
Do I know it though?
Yes. when I remind you after the show, you'll go, oh yeah.
It's going to piss me off that I knew it and didn't remember it. But one way or the other though, this has to be.
It'll end up on the list at some point.
We have to do this one. I mean, if it's out there now, we would be remiss if we didn't at least do something. So Jason, thank you for the reminder. I was not aware of this until I got his email, so that's good to know. And I never have to look at that VHS tape again. Next week, we are doing our two, not this. Okay, sorry. Let me back that up. There is no show next week. Let me tell you guys why. I'm out of town. It didn't work out. Timing is weird. It's also our 200th show.
And we need a little extra time.
Yes. And I'm going to ask it. There's also some other stuff I want to do with behind the scenes to kind of do a little celebratory kind of mashup-y thing for our 200 episodes. And so we need some time for that. But also, I'm going to be out of town. So we are going to bump a week. No show next week. The week after that, however, Star Trek, The Motion Picture.
The first one?
The first one.
With the bald-headed lady?
With the bald lady, Viger and all that, right?
Ilea.
Awesome.
Viger, Vinegar. What was her name?
Ilea was her name.
Oh, what was the name of the computer?
What's her name? Thing? Oh.
The thing was V.
Spoiler!
Oh, you...
No!
Oh, the, Brian.
Brian, the look, the statute of limitations.
Scott, would you, can we actually commit to bleeping that out?
I can actually do it. Do. You know what? I'm going to do it right now. Hold on, hold on.
Awesome.
All right, we're back. I've edited that out. People will not know what we just spoiled on a movie that's like 35 years old or whatever. Because we want to have the most fun we can have, you know?
Yes,
right. Exactly. We're here to have fun. If you would like to submit your own mail just like Jason here, you can send it to filmsack@gmail.com. And gosh darn it, we wish you would.
Yes.
I think it's going to do it for this episode. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you at home for being with us for 199 episodes. What a wild ride it's been. 200 will be a lot of fun, and 200 more probably will be fun too. And don't go reading into that and thinking we're ending it after 200. That's going to do it. Thanks, everybody. Where's the thing I got to hit there? There we go. We'll be back next time with a brand new movie. Until then, please go to the website. Filmsack.com is the website. Blog, comments, all that stuff's there and great. So you should go enjoy that. FilmSack on Twitter. That's @FilmSack. And again, the email address is filmsack@gmail.com. That will do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Chorizo Randy. We'll see you next time.
I'm eating. All right, Randy. Eat me first.
Masturbate.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
What the f*** is that?